You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, welcome everyone. It's good to see you all. And it's a very special occasion, of course, to be gathered today. But before we, you know, enter into the later events of our service, it's really timely, I think, today for us to have a moment to figure this concept or try to understand this concept that we're going to be talking about today, which is called thinking with God. So we in the West Side are currently doing a series through the book of Ephesians, and we're going through almost line by line, verse by verse, really trying to understand what does this mean for us today. And today we're going to look at just two verses or three verses, but one in particular that we're really focusing on, and that's where we get this idea of thinking with God. So before we do that, though, what I'd like you to do is to turn to the person next to you, and what does thinking with God, what do you think this means, okay, on a practical basis within our day-to-day lives? What does that mean? What does it look like? So just 1 minute, just talking with the person next to you. If you don't have anyone next to you, then move over and try and get to talk. Okay, let's see what you have come up with. Let's see what sermon you have created for us today. So anyone have any thoughts? Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like thinking with God is more like, you know how you're talking to somebody and it becomes less words and you're just in the moment with them, and now you become kind of one. So just all the limitations and the walls and everything is just shut down and you're just able to be in the moment with them. That's what I feel like.
Love that. You don't even need me to repeat that, do you? That's a good voice. Yeah, so just like one with God in the moment with the Lord. Okay, love that. Beautiful. Anyone else? Lakita. Yeah. Slowing down, quieting ourselves to be with him, with his word. Beautiful. Love that. This is great. So that's the second point of the sermon. Okay. It's not. I'm just playing. Okay. Karen.
The line that comes to mind is life is not happening to me, but for me.
Yeah.
And that's a tough one for me.
Yeah.
I feel like right now I'm going through a little rough stretch, and the question is, God, what do you want for me in this? I don't see it.
So awesome. That's great. So, yeah, being willing to wrestle with him, even in the difficult moments. So what are you wanting? What do you have for me in this moment? What is it that I need to see within myself or learn? Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you. Okay, I'm sure you had some other great answers, but it's a concept that I think God really wants us to live out and to be a very integral part of our relationship with him. So on Wednesday, we're going to have the second part to this message. So feel free to come and join us on Wednesday, where we'll be looking at verses 18 through 23. And as I said, today, we're just going to focus in on this. Before we get into the word and before I start praying, we do have a couple of people who are baptized into Christ over the last week. And we have a teenager called Sarah. Where is Sarah? Is she here? Oh, she's here. Stand up, Sarah, so we can welcome you. And also, we had Jasmine and Vanessa come and do the welcome, but one of their high school friends, who's also a friend of Absala, Daisy, was also baptized this week. So where is Daisy? Stand up, Daisy. So congratulations to you both and welcome. Okay, let us read our text for today. So Ephesians 1, 15 to 17. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Let's pray. Father, we ask today that we will be able to embody Paul's prayer, not only for the Ephesians, but also for us as well. Help us, God, to wrestle when needed, when we need to quiet ourselves when necessary, Father, to be one in every moment with you so that we can truly hear your voice, be guided by you, think with you each and every day. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit. We pray that we will be mindful of him and that he will bring new life to our soul, our mind, our spirit, and our hearts. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I have three very quick appetizers from the first couple of verses. Then we're going to dig really deep into the main course, okay, which is the final verse that we have here. Okay? So, firstly, he starts off with this, and he says, for this reason. So what is the reason that he is talking about? Verse 15. Well, if you look at verse 14 and above, he is reminding the church that they are God's possession. So he's saying, listen, because you are God's possession, because you belong to God, and because you are here to bring glory and praise to God, I pray for you. Does that make sense? Okay, so really simple thing. Our identity is in who we belong to. And sometimes our identity can be founded on things that in this next life are not going to matter at all. They will not have any bearing on who we are, how we think, how we interact with one another. None of them will. The only thing that will matter is that we are God's people. We are his possession. We belong to him. The challenge is, I think, sometimes we can be pulled here and there. And even in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, he says we can be tossed by every wave and wind. And if we're not careful, we can take our eyes off who we belong to and think that our allegiance is to someone or something else, when it's first and foremost to Jesus and to God. We must hold on to that. That's your first appetizer. Second appetizer, you ready? Okay, ever since, he said, I'm praying for you because ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. What is he saying to them? He's saying, listen, despite all the challenges you faced, all the difficulties that you've gone through, remember the riot 3 years before? You remain faithful to Jesus. And not only that, but you've shown your devotion by how much you love all the saints. The two most important metrics of our devotion as Christians are faith and love. Faith and love. And I love that Paul is highlighting that they've got this down, that this is a strength and a quality of theirs. Once again, I think sometimes our world, our society can really challenge our faith. Even like Karin said, God, what are you doing in my life at this time? It can challenge our faith and our steadfastness and our devotion. But it's an opportunity for us to reground and recenter ourselves on Jesus in those moments. He also mentions to them about their faith for all the saints, not just those who are like them. You don't get this sense that perhaps the Jews were only loving themselves and the Gentiles were only loving themselves. But they said, he says, no. You are loving all of yourselves, all of the saints, all the body. What an incredible quality that they were able to have and show and demonstrate. I think sometimes we have to be really careful and make sure that there's not an us and them in the body of Christ even today, but only a we, only an us. And where we're tempted to pull up, I was at a teacher's conference last week and Jeannie Shaw was talking about sometimes we try to put up fences, but where we need to be building bridges. And it's much quicker to put up a fence than it is to build a bridge. But that's where the real work comes in. That's where the Christ-likeness really shows itself. Okay, third appetizer. Anything that's been helpful so far? I hope. Okay, he then says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. So first of all, where is he? He's in prison. So he doesn't have a Bible to read, probably. So he has lots of time on his hands, so he gets to pray. So he's praying constantly for the church. Now, who is he praying for? He's praying for them. I'm sure he's praying for himself as well, but he's like, I constantly am praying for you. I don't stop praying for you. When we think about our own prayer lives, who and what makes up most of our prayers? Is it ourselves or is it other people? Is it the church? Because this was Paul's posture. This is convicting. I read this and I was like, wow. And I do pray for a lot of people, but half my prayers are sometimes all about me, and that's okay. But I need to be making sure that I'm praying for others, especially for God's church. I love also in this, he says, I haven't stopped giving thanks for you. I love this. You know, sometimes you can have a relationship that's just, I don't know, a little bit challenging, even though you're brothers and sisters in Christ. Anyone relate to that? Okay. In a previous church that I was in, there was one brother who just, I found difficult. He presented himself in ways that I would not have preferred. Okay? That's a good way, right? That's my wife's word, phrase. I learned from my wife. Amen, brothers? Okay. And so I read this. We were teaching this passage at the time. And I read this and I said, when was the last time that I prayed giving thanks for him? And it really convicted me because I would pray about him and I would pray for him, but I would not give thanks for him. I tell you what happened. My heart towards him changed. My posture changed. He then began to change. And then we moved back. We were then looking for a ministry position somewhere, and he heard, and we were no longer in the same church, and he heard that we were looking, and he sent me a text saying, hey, would you come back? This is the same brother that I would have that conflict with. And I'm like, this is amazing, because God working through me changing my posture of giving thanks for that person that I may otherwise have just said, God, please. You see the difference? And we can point those fingers, but God's wanting us to point our fingers this way, okay? Give thanks to him in prayer. All right, let's get on to the main course. All right, Ephesians 1:17. This is where we will camp for a little while. He says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, in the original Greek, they didn't capitalize, so we don't know if this was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation, or whether it was just us having a posture and a heart that is seeking and desiring wisdom. So either one works, okay? Both of them do. Ultimately, he's trying to say to the church, listen, open yourselves up to the Spirit of wisdom, to becoming wise, to God's Holy Spirit, connecting with your spirit so that you can grow in being wise, making wise choices, wise decisions, saying wise things, living in a wise way, being in the moment with God, thinking with God in every single moment. I love what Dallas Willard says about this whole concept. He talks about how the Holy Spirit, first of all, tries to enter into our spirit, our heart and our will. And then once he's able to take over there, it then impacts everything else. It impacts our mind, it impacts our soul, it impacts our social, our body, everything. But if we're not careful, we can block the Holy Spirit from even entering our spirit for him to be able to then go and do his work. Does that make sense? John Piper, who's a Baptist minister, he spoke about this. And he agreed that the Holy Spirit first enters our spirit. He said, sometimes the problem is that the pathway between the Holy Spirit and our spirit is clogged with just junk and trash and garbage. And the truth is, we are all being formed and shaped by something. Every one of us. We're either being shaped by the Holy Spirit, or we're being shaped by our community, what we read, what we watch, what we listen to, what we consume. And Paul is saying to the church, consume the Holy Spirit of wisdom. Let that be your guide. Let that dictate how you think, how you respond, what you say. Because if it's not the Holy Spirit, then what is it? So here's a little illustration. So this is us, the ocean, the estuary there, okay? And this is what we are made up of spiritually. Our spirit, our mind, our body, our social environment, and our soul. And what Paul is saying here is that the Holy Spirit is trying to influence our entire being. But if we're not careful, then this trash, this junk can just get in the way and block the influence. Do you see that? So John Piper, he said, not me, you can take it up with him, he said that instead of it, that trash can represent these things: family pressures, money issues, stresses, anxiety, personal issues, and, according to John Piper, not me, internet, TV, news outlets, social media, politics. All of those things, if we are not careful, can block the flow of the Holy Spirit trying to influence our minds, our hearts, our postures, our being, our thinking, our doing, everything. Then that impacts our social, our community. It impacts our body. The Holy Spirit is the one who should be having the sole influence on all of those things. And as Christians, that is our goal. That is why Paul is saying, listen, I'm praying for you to have a spirit of wisdom that comes from God. Now, the problem is sometimes our spirit, as I said, cannot be in a very good place or the healthiest place that it should be. Look at this. Look at Mary's spirit when she heard that she was going to be giving birth to Jesus. She said, my spirit rejoices. She could have been like, God, no way. Choose someone else. Are you serious? But she rejoiced in her spirit. Her spirit was in a good place to receive the guidance, the wisdom, of course, the blessing of God. But look at this. This is Asaph in, I don't know if his last name was Rocky, but I don't think it is. Psalm 73. All right, let's bring it back. When my heart was grieved, remember, heart and spirit is the same, my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Wow. Wow. He says, listen, I'm blocking my connection with you, God, because my spirit was not in a good place. That is why I think Paul says to them in Ephesians 4, as we'll read later, he says, be made new in the attitude of your mind. That word attitude in Ephesians 4 is spirit. And he says, be made new in the spirit of your mind, deep within where the Holy Spirit is trying to impact. Be made new there by allowing the spirit of wisdom to influence what you do, what you think, what you say, how you respond. This is powerful stuff. And if we're not careful, we can hold on to perhaps a spirit who is not leading us to be more like Christ and block the one who really is, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. This idea of the spirit of wisdom, Paul didn't just make it up though. We see this all the way back, and I'm English, so I'll say it this way, Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11 verses 1 and 4. Look at this. This is a prophecy of Jesus. And this is what it says about Jesus. This is 700 years before Jesus came. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. He will not judge by what he sees or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions to the poor of the earth. So Paul is saying that same spirit that Jesus came with, that he was furnished with, that the Spirit enabled him to have, we get to have exactly the same spirit in our lives today. We just need to be making room and making space for it. And look what kind of spirit it is. Look what it does. It stops us from judging wrongly, out of mere appearances. It helps us to judge with justice and with righteousness. It helps us to make good decisions for here on earth while we are alive. This is the spirit that Paul is praying for us to have and for the Ephesians to have. It is not a human wisdom, but it is a wisdom that comes from above, a wisdom that comes from God. This is the wisdom. James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That's the spirit of wisdom from God. This is not always the spirit of wisdom of man, but this is the spirit that he wants us to have. So knowing what to think, how to respond, what to say, how to act, must always be passed through this filter, the filter of wisdom, especially in the politically charged climate that we unfortunately live in. These, by the way, and these times are amazing, wonderful, God-given opportunities for us to grow to become more like Christ as individuals and as a community. We've got to make sure we use them in that way to become more like him, less like the world, growing in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because what are we? We are ambassadors of Christ within this world. We are image bearers, as we heard last week with Steve's message. We are image bearers of God. That means we must quiet ourselves to make room for the Spirit to give us wisdom from heaven. So this is what that filter looks like. He talks about here being considerate. When we're trying to wrestle with what to say or how to respond, wisdom from heaven says, be considerate of others. Be accommodating of other voices. If you're thinking of posting something, think, is this going to produce good fruit in myself and in those who read what I'm about to post? Will it produce good fruit in them? Or will it incite them in some way? When we want to respond or say something, we have to think and pause and listen to the spirit of wisdom to say, is this coming from a place of impartiality? What does it mean to be impartial? Not taking sides. It means we put aside any leanings that we may have and we seek the path of Christ-like impartiality because we are followers of Jesus. It's difficult because we've not necessarily trained our minds to engage with God in this way. We type now and pay later, but we've got to take the time to think with God in real time, in every moment. That is what Paul is praying for the church to do. The Spirit's wisdom, eventually, when we allow him to do that, reprograms our instinctive responses so that we act more like Jesus every single time. The problem is, much of our knowledge is very factual, and it's on the left side of our brain. So we're going to do a little bit of neuroscience. The problem is that we make many of our decisions on impulse, which is part of our right side of our brain, which runs on a fast track, much faster than our left side of our brain. So by the time we've already got the words out, our factual side is like saying, oh, but there's this scripture. Oh, no, be quiet. I've got this. Does that make sense? What Paul is saying here is, listen, slow it down. Let the Holy Spirit take over the fast track side of your brain so that in every moment, every opportunity, every instance, you've got wisdom from God to say the right thing, do the right thing. In the class that I taught at the Jubilee, I introduced this acronym. So this acronym does not say SPLOD, okay? But it does say SPLOW DOWN, okay? So we really must take the time to stop when we're feeling some tension. Just take the time to stop. Pray, listen for the spirit of wisdom, and make sure we obey what it says. And if it's not in line with scripture, you know it's not the spirit of wisdom. It could be the spirit of something else. So when you're in those moments, slow down, okay? You're creating room and space for the Holy Spirit. Let me share an example. This is me. Can you see me on the back? So I used to play rugby up into my 30s. And so I was in the ministry then, and there's another guy who was in the church. And one day another fellow minister wanted to, okay, you can bring it back to here now. Another picture with hair. I know. I'm skipping. So. I'll go back. So, one day, I was playing rugby, and there was a friend of mine who was also in the ministry, was a really good rugby player. So he wanted to come, and he played for our team. He's not in the picture. And so he, you know, in physical sport, sometimes it can get a little bit heated. And so he started getting into it with this guy on the other team, and I thought they were going to come to blows. And so I ran up to him, and I grabbed him, and I said, "Just pray." So here we are in the middle of this rugby game, with all of this going off, and I'm telling him to pray. So he looked at me like, "Are you crazy? Do you see what is..." But that's what I was trying to get him to do, to slow down, create space in the heat of this. Now, whenever I see this friend of mine, and maybe like he's introducing me to someone, he says, "You'll never guess what CJ did in the middle of a rugby game. He grabbed me and told me to pray." But it stuck with him, and he didn't come into a fight eventually. But we need to do this. We're in a spiritual battle. And that battle was on the rugby field, but this is the battle that we face every single day. And who's going to win? Our instincts, what the world says, what media says, or Christ? That's the choice. And in those moments, we must slow down. We've got to listen and create space for the Holy Spirit to do His thing. And He will, if we let Him. We will then become the image bearers of Christ and of God in the world. This is our responsibility. And times like this, they are perfect opportunities for us to grow in the likeness of Christ, lean into the spirit of wisdom and revelation as we do. And as we do, just to close, we get to grow in our knowledge of Him. And isn't that what it's all about? Growing more about His love, His character, His wisdom, His will for our life, who He wants us to become. Not what we want Him to do for us, or what we want Him to do in the world that we think is right, but the knowledge of Him. Okay, I'm going to skip a few. I had even more than this. Okay, look at this quote. This is from a book I was reading, and it's quoted on a website. It says, "Spirit-enabled capacity to think with God, not merely about Him, but in real time, to shape our immediate reactions and character in all and every situation." That's what this spirit of wisdom is trying to do within our lives. What a beautiful thing that is. What a beautiful picture of Christ-likeness God is trying to create within each one of our lives. As we close, I'd like us to go back to Isaiah 11. And here, this spirit of wisdom, this judgment in the right way, leads to this. "The wolf will lie with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf with the young lion will be together, and a little child will lead them. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord." See how Paul spoke about spirit of wisdom leading to a greater knowledge of God? It comes from this as well. He says, Jesus will come with a spirit of wisdom so that people will be able to respond and live in the right way, so that the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. That's why we are in these moments. That's why we are still here, so that we get to show to the world who God really and truly is. And it all came because Jesus was willing to come to teach us to be filled with that spirit and go to the cross. So I'm going to read just to finish. This just came this morning, so it's not on these slides. But in the book of Hebrews, we go back to the mountain of the Lord. So in Hebrews 12, verse 22, "Instead, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to myriads of angels in joyful assembly, to the congregation of the firstborn." That's us. We are the congregation of the firstborn. "You have come to the God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Jesus is the fulfillment of this, not only in heaven, but through us as a community. He is constantly trying to sprinkle us with his blood for us to be righteous, for us to be holy, and to be sent off out into the world because of his sacrifice. So let us not let his sacrifice be in vain by us holding on to our own postures, our own thinking, our own wisdom, but create space to have the wisdom that comes from him and through his death, resurrection for us. Let's pray as we take communion together. Father, we are so grateful that we get to be the congregation of the firstborn. Thank you, Father, for the fulfillment of this centuries-old prophecy, millennial-old prophecy, that Jesus would come full of the spirit of wisdom to bring justice in this world. Thank you, God, that he now has given us this mantle to be the light of the world through living out the spirit of wisdom within our own lives. We pray today, Father, that we will put aside, that we will create space for us to be truly led by him. God, as we think of Jesus being on the cross, looking down at us, just hoping and desiring that we will make room for him within our hearts, within our minds, within our will. We pray that today we will surrender all things as Jesus surrendered his body on the cross for us. We love you, we thank you, and it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.